Our next speaker is Rabbi Charles Sherman. Rabbi Sherman graduated from the University of Pittsburgh and earned a Bachelor of Arts and Master of Arts in Hebrew Letters at Hebrew Union College. He served as senior rabbi of Temple Israel from July 1976, that's the year that I graduated high school, to June 2013. And since July, he has served as Rabbi Emeritus. Please welcome Rabbi Charles Sherman.
I just had to throw that in.
How to make you feel young. Well, when Reverend Kroll and I were discussing this, I was trying to figure out, you know, we're a very passionate people. Otherwise, we wouldn't still be here after 4,000 years. How many passions should I try to share in the allotted time? And first, I thought of the Trinity. Yes, there's a Jewish Trinity. All right. It got very quiet. Did you notice that, Bill? God, Torah, and Israel. But I decided another important number in Judaism. Obviously, those of you who study the Hebrew scriptures in English translation, 40 plays a major role, but Bill wouldn't give me that much time. 18 was another possibility. Chai stands for life, a very important number in Judaism. But again, I wasn't sure I could do 18 in a few minutes. So I decided on the most important number in Judaism. Want to guess? 7 is correct. Excellent guess. After all, 7 days of creation. The Sabbath is the seventh day. The oldest symbol of continuously used in Judaism is the 7-branched menorah. So, 7 passions, friends. 1, Jewish survival and continuity. While Jews have never been numerically strong, we have somehow survived for 4 millennia. Today, we constitute approximately 1/3 of 1% of the world population. Yet with this numerically insignificant quantity, century after century, Jews have contributed more to the world civilization than any group of similar size in all of history. And unless you think we're only talking about the world, I was interested in Gary Schaefer's comments. Alfred Aronson, man who just died, and we read a great deal of his contributions, Henry Zarrow, and the list could go on right here in our own midst. The world needs Jews. And I want, on a personal level, Jewish grandchildren. For Jewish life to continue, a critical mass is required. And while quality is more important than quantity, we need both. And I'm going to try and help Dr. Peluso Verdan. I think that as the flyer creatively made by my colleague, Rabbi Mark Fitzerman, who deserves great credit for his continuing contributions to OCCJ's work here. With these passions often come problems. And so I'm going to try to very quickly mention the problem here of our commitment to survival and continuity is insularity sometimes and self-absorption, that criticism. Number 2, the centrality of the family. The basic unit in Jewish life is the family. With changing definitions of what family means today, we talk about the temple family. We talk about the faith family. Family is more important than synagogue in Judaism, without question. The problem, we can be seen as cliquish. It's hard to break in. What about outsiders? Number 3, our sense of mission. Since the time of Abraham, we Jews have felt that we have been chosen to bring to the world the lesson of ethical monotheism. Ethical monotheism is the belief in one God who has requirements of certain moral behavior of those who worship that God. How are we to teach the world anything, we who have always been numerically insignificant? By example, collective and personal example, that one could look at a Jewish community and say, this is what kind of behavior God wants. That one looks at an individual Jew and says, this is what God wants. And one has to add very quickly that we have always seen what we consider our daughter religionists, Muslims and Christians, as also being ethical monotheists. Teaching the world ethical monotheism has never meant teaching the world all to be Jews. We respect and appreciate and cherish our Christian and our Muslim brothers and sisters. One of the concerns that we have is when we Jews, who I think taught this lesson to the world, don't receive that same respect in return. At the same time, the idea of chosenness, even chosen as we understand it for a specific job, can lead others to look at us as presumptuous, if not even arrogant. Four, our commitment to the separation of church and state. At least two of the groups represented here today understand minority sensitivities in a way sometimes that the majority doesn't understand. The other side, the problem, those who believe that this is a Christian country. Therefore, creches, monuments in public places, prayer in school, prayer before governmental bodies is considered to be by them kosher and by us treif, meaning not kosher. Ours is a concern for the rights and the dignity for all religions and for those who are non-religion, and we believe passionately that those rights are best protected by a complete separation of church and state. Five, what we call tikkun olam, which means the repair, healing, completion of this world. We Jews feel that we are God's co-workers, God's partners, in fact, God's hands and arms and legs. And it's this world of which we are sure and in which we live, that we are called upon to help heal, where we see the various things that Reverend Shainholz spoke about, that we're to be there to feed the hungry and to clothe the naked and to repair broken hearts and broken lives. And this leads to the problem of being seen often as being pushy and impatient, guilty as charged. That comes out of the sense of tikkun olam, our responsibility to be God's partners. Six, remember, do not forget, never again. In 1939, there were 18 million Jews in the world. In 1945, there were 12 million Jews in the world. 6 million, one-third of the Jewish people, perished in the Holocaust, what we call the Shoah. It is our responsibility passionately to preserve their stories, to erect monuments, museums, and other helps to remember, to see that Holocaust studies are part of the curriculum of schools. Let me bring it closer to home. The population, the Jewish population of the United States and Canada, is approximately 6 million. We 6 million must see ourselves as representatives of the other 6 million. Therefore, each of us, I believe, has to live for two people, for ourselves and for our alter ego, the Jew who died because he or she bore our same name. We are surrogates for those Jews who died. This means that we must study and appreciate our honored heritage. We must read our great literary treasures and sing, play, and dance our glorious music. We must rediscover our soul and proclaim by our lives, Am Yisrael Chai, that the Jewish people is alive and well. It's an obligation that we dare not evade. What's the other side? Jews are seen by some as unforgiving and as fixated on the past. Why can't you get over it? Number 7. Israel. There are those who claim that the modern state of Israel arose phoenix-like out of the ashes of the crematoria, that the two epical events in modern Jewish history are linked, the Holocaust and the rebirth of Israel. I hope that it will never be said or even thought that the Holocaust was the price that we Jews had to pay for the modern state of Israel, because no goal is worth the death of 6 million innocent human beings. And surely that's not what I am saying. I'm saying that what the Holocaust did was to horribly demonstrate to us that almost every other nation and people in the world abandoned the Jews. Even when the Nazi atrocities were known and well documented, the nations of the world, including our beloved United States, closed their doors to immigration. Israel is that ever open door as far as Jews are concerned. We've seen in our own lifetime the ingathering of Jews from many countries, numbering a million. We've seen the dramatic airlift of Ethiopian Jews who would not have found welcome in most other places. The open door works, and we must preserve that one place in the world where Jews are always welcome. This means that we Jews, even those of us who do not ever intend to make Israel our home, still must see Israel as the family homestead and support the modern state of Israel as it provides haven and regeneration for our brothers and sisters who do choose to make Israel their home. For a Jew, Israel can never be just another nation state. It's the family homestead which even we Jews who do not live there have responsibilities to help and support. And the other side? There are those who think that Jews have dual citizenship and dual loyalties. And there are people who think that Jews, in their uncritical support of Israel, which I don't think Jews are ever uncritical, are thin-skinned about any criticism of Israel. So passions and problems. At 7, God rested, so will I.